Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want to woo-woo.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line, our textual relations. Today was Snowpocalypse Letdown, things that have been overhyped and let us down in our lives, and we're all just letting it vent. We're getting some good ones, and now it's just turned into Coke versus Pepsi on the Better You Today text line, which I can appreciate a good Coke versus Pepsi fight. Are you Coke or Pepsi?
Oh, Coke all day long.
You are?
Oh, my gosh, it's not okay. Even close.
Buck?
Not even in the same. Just stratosphere.
This is going to sound crazy, but if it has sugar in it, Pepsi. If it's diet, Coke.
Oh.
No, it doesn't sound
crazy.
Wow,
look at that. That's not out of... No, you are correct on that.
I would argue that there are more people that have diet Coke as part of their daily routine than any other soft drink.
I think that's probably accurate. Mm.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Unless
I'm a Pepsi guy.
Levitt.
I'm a Pepsi guy myself.
Who is the...
Pepsi guy.
Remember the... The offensive coordinator, former offensive coordinator for Oregon State. We had him on the show.
Oh,
15, oh 16
gosh.
Diet Cokes a day.
Yeah. What was that guy's name?
Started with an L. I don't know. I forgot. Very forgettable.
Yeah. He was, I think, sent to the bench.
He was.
And he was
Gary
demoted
were,
to the slot receivers coach after.
Yeah. He and Coach Anderson were not in good standing.
Well, and then there's Jim Levitt, who just drinks Pepsi. Like, he just IVs Pepsi in. And where has Jim Levitt been?
Quietly coaching.
Where, like...
How's he at recruiting, by the
way? We had, up here, we had the big recruiting extravaganza show where Cristobal, Keith Hayward, the co-defensive coordinator, Marcus Arroyo were up here. I know they had some down in Medford and Eugene.
So you put a little conspiracy theory out there a little bit?
Well, no.
A little bit of salt in the wound.
He wasn't
each
in
other.
Portland, and I haven't seen any, like, pictures of him with the recruits anymore. And, like, where's Jim Levitt? Where's his Pepsi pictures these days, you know? Nobody knows.
Yeah, how many jobs did he apply for in the offseason or get asked about?
Like five or six. But, all right, you're a Coke man. I'm a Pepsi man. Buck is a Pepsi and Diet Coke man.
Well, pretty much Coke, though, because I don't really drink sugar soda anymore.
Well, you know you've arrived if you're in the South when they ask you, do you want to drink? Yeah, what kind of Coke do you want? You say, I want a Mountain Dew. Mm. Everything's a Coke. Mm.
Where do we sit on RC? I actually love RC.
It's all right.
Okay.
It's right up there with Jolt. With, you know, remember Jolt?
Not even. What? Not even close. Yeah. Jolt?
Yeah.
All right.
That's what it is.
Things that let you down. Coming up this hour, we'll have our Case of the Mondays. What's grinding your gears? 7:45. The Alliance of American Football debuted. What'd you think of it? And will you be watching? Right now, though, it is 7:05.
What's hot?
Who can?
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Our sleuths. Levitt was at the Medford recruiting party.
Okay.
So take that for what it's worth.
More defense down south, I guess.
That's what you're talking about. All right, let's talk some Pac-12 hoops. As heard right here on the fan, Oregon upended Stanford 69-46 last night. Nice. Ducks now one game back of second place in the Pac-12, where Oregon State remains with the pack of Utah and Arizona State. Beavs beat Cal 79-71 Saturday. Utes topped UCLA 93-92. UCLA sucks. Sun Devils ruined Washington's perfect season.
Yeah.
gosh, 75-63 Saturday. Huskies now 10-1 in Pac-12 play with a three-game lead over the rest of the conference.
Really, the only team that looks, according to a lot of the metrics out there, is be the only team getting a bid, but they still have to win the tournament to really get that bid, so there's no lock anywhere.
Yeah, I was sitting here, and I went and I looked something up. Washington State won back-to-back road games because they beat Arizona State and Arizona this past weekend. For the first time since the 2014-2015 season, January of 2015 is the last time they won back-to-back road games, Cougs.
Been a while.
So congrats, Cougs. Way to go, guys. Ernie Kent. All right, a little recruiting news. Nation's number 8 wide receiver and one of the top uncommitted players for the class of 2019, Puka Nacua, picked Washington over Oregon, USC, BYU, UCLA, and Utah.
According to this text on the Better You Today text line, it goes, what's the point of commitments with these high school kids? It means nothing. They change their minds way too often. It's fair.
Yeah, he was committed to USC.
I didn't know who he was, I'll be honest with you.
No,
he's a good wide receiver from high school that maybe in a few years will be excellent. Congratulations to him and to Washington Coach Peterson.
He's really good.
I guess.
Meanwhile, Washington State picked up the services of grad transfer quarterback Gage Guberud from Eastern Washington. He is from McMinnville.
6 years.
And he will have a sixth year, yeah.
Doctors.
He's going to be
back
a doctor.
Back-to-back, six-year guys.
What can you become a doctor
Peyton
in
Bluer
at
was
Washington
a six-year guy.
State? What can you become a doctor in there?
You doctor the agriculture.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and then he can come back to McMinnville and use it.
Sure.
Perfect.
There's doctorates at Washington State all over the place. We've had this discussion before.
Really?
More frustrating when someone's not a medical doctor that call themselves doctors.
No.
Interesting.
I mean,
would you call yourself
man.
A doctor
you're,
if you got your doctorate?
Yeah.
In anything. Would you walk around and call yourself a doctor?
Yeah, like Dr. Jack Ramsey?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hell yeah,
once you achieve that doctorhood, you call yourself doctor.
What are you doctor in? Philosophy.
Okay. All right.
It's okay. I'm a doctor. You're somebody calling for a doctor. Nobody's going to want you to come save their life. All right. The Mariners reportedly will trade their best player.
Oh.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Wait a minute. Dang it.
Got this year. This is a total rebuild. This comes via Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times.
Yeah.
That now
not their best
that
player.
Well, the best player they acquired this year. I mean, who they traded James Paxton.
I'm waiting
they traded
for them
Edwin
to get
Diaz.
Rid of Kyle Seager.
They traded Robinson Cano.
Why can't they get rid of Kyle Seager?
They traded Gene Segura. They've traded everybody, and now it appears they're going to try and trade Encarnacion.
Yeah, and get rid of Kyle Seager.
Okay. Well, we can only hope, right?
It's $77 million. Whatever. Okay, anyway.
Also, how about this collusion here in baseball?
Yeah.
So Manny Machado and Bryce Harper still out, available in free agency. Here's a report for you. Manny Machado was offered an 8-year, $250 million contract from the Chicago White Sox.
Boy.
Yeah, that is a report that is out there. I got that from ProBaseballTalk.com.
What is he waiting for?
$300 million? I have no idea, man.
If Machado gets 250 from Chicago White Sox, what does that mean for Bryce Harper? What are the Giants offering Bryce Harper?
I don't know.
What are some of these teams? Philly, I saw over the weekend, too, now back in the mix
Machado,
with Bryce Harper.
Machado wants $300 million. I think at this point where pitchers and catchers report this week,
yeah,
250 is pretty good if you can get that.
If he can hold out for it, what's his hurry?
And then now the Giants have Steve Kerr lobbying for Bryce Harper to become a Giant.
Don't come to California. The taxes are too high, and you'll spend your entire salary on living expenses.
Yeah, but you can be a bro.
What?
Yeah.
He's already a Nevada
Cali, bro.
He's already a Vegas bro.
What's up, bro? I don't know. All right, remember those three players from Clemson that tested positive for PEDs?
Yes.
One of them included Dexter Lawrence, who
this is a good story.
Declared for the National Football League draft as a junior, maybe
a
late first-round, second-round pick.
Big-time issue.
Dabo Swinney spoke with the Post and Courier, and he said that Clemson may have inadvertently given them that Ostrine is the name of the drug.
Correct.
Which is banned in the United States, is not FDA approved.
Right.
But he's saying we may have mistakenly given it to our guys because some of these drug manufacturers just slip in the drugs without putting them on the label. And he thinks that's what happened to his three players, including Dexter Lawrence. And he's saying it may have been our fault, but we're looking into it right now. That's huge.
That's extremely frustrating to think that a college did not do its research and that they are just going to say, my bad. You know, these guys could have cost them a lot, could have cost them draft status, anything at this point. Yet the team and the coaches can go, well, we're really sorry. We'll collect our $500 million, whatever we're collecting. But sorry, players, our mistake.
They're saying that it could have been something that was approved by the NCAA and then the manufacturer just slipped in a little something extra. But how about this? So those three were busted. You know, not every player was tested.
Yeah.
They take a small
sample. Could have been the whole dang team.
Yeah, could have been everybody. But for whatever reason, those three guys got caught. This could get pretty ugly. And we'll find out whether the other two players who will return, one's a freshman and one's a junior that couldn't leave for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They could miss all of next season too because of the suspension. So keep an eye on Dabo and Clemson. The streak is over for the Portland Trail Blazers. They fall 102-101 afternoon basketball in Dallas. They are now 33-22, but the streak we're talking about, 33-0 after leading after three quarters, 0-21 after trailing after three quarters. They had a 14-point lead heading into the fourth. They blew it, and they lose 102-101. Damian Lillard, though, 30 points, 10 of 23 shooting, and a monster third quarter where he had 21 points on 8 of 10 shooting. Blazers lose. They're back at it tonight, though, in Oklahoma City, the second of a back-to-back, sitting just a couple games back of the Thunder for the third spot in the Western Conference. Big game, as there's only two more games before the All-Star break, tonight and Wednesday. Keep an eye on that. We may see Scala Bassiere for the first time within these next couple of days. That's what's hot and cool on the Fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Trane. Start saving today at areaheating.com. The AAF debuted. Did you watch it? And did you like what you saw? 714 on the Fan. The Alliance of American Football kicked off over the weekend. Saturday night, Mike Riley and the San Antonio Commanders took on the San Diego Fleet and Mike Martz. The very first game of the Alliance of American Football. And Riles came out on top.
Mm-hmm. Did you see what else happened to him? Give him a little Gatorade bath, baby.
He got the Gatorade
bath. First Gatorade bath of the season.
I thought you were talking about the picture in the locker room afterwards where Mike Riley was wearing like baggy jeans, a flannel, and a ski cap.
Yeah, it's cold.
I was like, Mike, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
I was quite the sight for sore eyes there with Mike Riley, but hip hip hooray, San Antonio won. And then we had more action yesterday. What were your initial thoughts of the Alliance of American Football? Did you watch it?
I watched clips of it. I didn't watch a game all the way through. I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I had other things going on, but I did watch it. And I watched all the kind of, if you want to call them, quote unquote, highlights or some of the things that were interesting about it. It was what I expected. I didn't expect great football. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't expect really, really bad football. I got right in the middle. I got some good quality plays, some guys making nobody's names that were really, I mean, other than Trent Richardson that I could really recognize. Some guys out there that I remember seeing and watching and playing. Good coaches. Not bad. Exactly what I was expecting. It wasn't overhyped. It wasn't overwhelming. The broadcast, the crews were a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
But
Marvin
that's really
Lewis
what is
not good.
God, he's just very stale.
Yeah.
But that's what I expected. It was good.
So I watched the first game start to finish. I wanted to see what the AAF product was like because they told us it would be different. And the first game, I actually enjoyed what I saw. You don't realize how much an NFL game or a college football game gets bogged down by commercials until you see an AAF game on television where touchdown, right to the 2-point conversion, and then boom, ball's placed, and maybe they'll do the split screen 30-second ad, and you're right back to action. Only there's very limited breaks in the action for commercial breaks, and you sat there and you went, whoa, like this is what the game is supposed to be like. Just a little over 2 hours for that San Diego and San Antonio game to finish. There were, and so that is refreshing to see. Mm-hmm. You also had the fact that it wasn't bogged down by penalties as much. They're using it as a developmental league. So I actually enjoy the fact that they're letting guys get away with more pass interference. They're not calling all of the holds that you could see in a game, because one thing that the AAF isn't shying away from is the fact you're a developmental league, and you have to let guys develop without dinging them with a penalty on every single play.
True, and letting a few things happen during the game and not letting officials or referees or instant replays take over the game. You're trying to – this is, folks, what it looks like at practice a little bit. For those of you know, there are sometimes officials show up to practice in training camp and during the season to help players and say, okay, this is what we do, because you don't want to develop bad habits. I'm glad to see that the AAF decided not to let a flag fest happen. And some of these things need to be trained out of our eyes, where we have been accustomed to every special team play, there's a flag. Every kick return, there's a flag. Everything that we watch in critical situations, there's a flag, except when someone decides to let a hit, like what happened to Mike Berkovici, where he got his helmet popped off with a very good strike and a good collision sport hit and a very firm tackle. It was, oh my gosh. And you got one or two people here watching this sport. You got the ones that enjoy football and like a little bit of contact, and the ones that are fear mongers and say crap like the violence and the barbaric sport of football needs to go away forever. Those are the two people that you watch. Yeah. Those are the two people on either side. And you both are going to continue to watch.
I do like the big hits. I think we've missed it, and they don't need to promote it as that's what their league is.
No.
You know? But the fact that it's there and those hits happen and you're not, I think everybody, when that Mike Berkovici hit, if you missed it, he just got de-cleated. And that's one thing that the AAF, it really makes me appreciate how good, even the bad teams, the line play and quarterback play is at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Because you saw some pretty bad quarterback and line play, but he got absolutely de-cleated.
So, yes.
And people went, this is football again. This, and there was no flag.
This is one of the most important things that I think the AAF did starting immediately, is that they understand the development of the offensive line is going to struggle. Why? Because it's very difficult in today's sport of football is to find very prepared offensive linemen that can pass protect because of the rules and how it is. So what they did is they said, we're not going to allow what? Only five blitzers.
Yeah.
Five guys can come. Doesn't matter from depth or wherever you're at, but you can only bring five. Because if you allow a defensive coordinator to bring 6-7 and all those guys are coming off the edges and you're bringing corner blitzes and stuff like that, it's going to get to the point where you're not even going to get a playoff.
Yeah.
So good job on them to recognize offensive line play and allowing teams to be able to look like what we want to see is a little bit of offense.
And that may be a rule that goes away as the league establishes itself, because here's one thing to take into consideration. They've been practicing for only 30 days. Like, could you imagine that? Like a team only gets 30 days and then they're just like, here you go, to learn your system, learn your offense, play together with each other. The level of play is not great. And that could, what could make the AAF kind of not work? I think it will. But what could make it not work is if they oversaturate you with games, and then you start saying, people start realizing, and I started seeing it as of yesterday, people going, wait, this actually isn't great football. Well, duh, it's a developmental league. It's something that, like, the NFL is your drug. The AAF, they're weaning you off of it, right? They're giving you a lower dose of what you're supposed to get used to, right?
But
and
football,
that's what it is.
Yes,
just keep it not oversaturated. You'll
American version of football is the only sport that doesn't have the year-round atmosphere. It is the only sport in the world that you don't see year-round activity. Why is it? Because of the contact and because of the aggressiveness and the intensity of it. This gives the growth of the game what we need. The NFL is a $20 billion industry. It's on its way to $20 billion, which means you can find leagues across the world that might not be like the Bundesliga and at a top-end soccer leagues. They're billion-dollar industries. But there are plenty of other leagues that are very cash flush, and they're business and their profitability is good enough to sustain. That's what football's did. There's enough money out there now to be able to have this type of options. We're developing younger players. We're developing good coaches. We're seeing all the things that we need to see with football. And this is great because if you want year-round basketball, you got plenty of leagues in Europe that develop young talent and great players. There's plenty of other options for this. So I want more of Mike Singletary and those death stares.
His team sucks.
I did.
They were so bad.
Did you see the guy that they scratched off because he was arrested for
prostitution sting?
He was like, yeah.
Well.
No, but then I mean, thought I saw legitimately that he was held out with a groin injury.
Well,
post prostitution sting.
Well, hold on. Was that Eugene? What's the guy's
Eugene
name?
Robinson.
Eugene Robinson. Falcons. Dirty Bird. He was held out. Wait, he played in the Super Bowl after getting busted.
He was former safety of the Seahawks and went to the. Yeah, I know. It was 98 Super Bowl.
Yeah. And he played after getting busted into prostitution.
He did.
So, AAF, I applaud you for your character in holding out whatever that guy's
name. What's the most important stat of this weekend? Are you going to give it? Or no, you got to hide it? Are we teasing
There's a couple things.
Oh, gosh.
Well, there's a couple things here because there is something that the AAF is doing that will be a signal for their success, which is they're not afraid to talk about the NFL. Remember when the XFL launched, they were afraid to talk about the NFL, and they were basically saying, we're competing against them. We don't talk about our competition. The AAF, before that first game, they were talking about how they could help the NFL in their pregame show. Yeah. Like Bill Pulley and Hines Ward, all these guys, they were talking about how we can help the NFL with development of players, with changing the game via rules. Yep. And not shying away from that, I think, is the biggest thing that they can do, because that one big number that you're talking about gives you all you need to know about can this be viable and can it be successful. Plus, there was one comeback over this weekend that trumps every other comeback in the AAF. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, one number that could show you that the AAF could be successful. It's pretty important to the NFL when you're talking about can they use the AAF to develop. The ratings for Saturday night's San Diego versus San Antonio game between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern time, which is when the game was being played, it outdrew the audience on CBS of the NBA on ABC.
Yeah.
The NBA on ABC had 2.4 million viewers peak. The AAF on CBS, 2.9. 2.9 million viewers for the debut. Now, that's a good number. It's all coming down to how they continue to add viewers and keep viewers, though, right? I mean, debut is one thing. XFL had a monster rating on the first time.
Sure they did, but they did it very dramatically with all their lead-ups and exactly what Dick, I think it was Eversol, who handled with NBC at the time, which is his son is now managing this and which is doing a good job. So you learn from your mistakes. They didn't go over the top with it. They didn't go over, you didn't see YouTube clips and commercials and expectations and Vince McMahon, XFL, and he didn't get to see all that because they understand, like what LeVar Ball does not, they're staying in their lane.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that is one of the things that we talked about it before the break. You're not trying to compete. You're being vocal about how you could help the NFL. Mm-hmm. It kind of seems like the AAF is just waiting to be bought by the NFL, and that may be the end game for them. But they have the NFL has to have a reason to, and making it a moneymaker is the number one way to do that. Yeah. And the way you do that is by getting viewers to watch. And
look, I don't even think it needs to be a moneymaker.
You don't have to lose a ton of money though, like they did in the NFL Europe.
Sure.
They can break even. Like they can break even with the AAF. If you have 2.9 million viewers on a weekly basis, the NFL can find a way to make that a break-even league, which is, for a developmental league, that's all you want, right?
Yeah, you want massive development. You want coaching development. I'll say it over and over again. But sure, yeah, can you sell ads for that? $2.9 million people? That's a lot of eyes viewing your stuff, and that's really what it is growth, brand, and ad sales that you're looking for.
And there's guys that, I mean, there's plenty of stories to develop talent. I mean, I think the number was 81% of guys playing in the AAF have or have had an NFL contract. within the last couple of years. You guys got guys like Trent Richardson and who's played. But yesterday, Birmingham, their quarterback is a guy named Luis Perez. He's like a perfect example of what they're looking for. They were breaking down this guy's story. He didn't play football in high school. He turned down a bowling scholarship to Oklahoma to go and play at a D2 school. Sure. Ended up being a quarterback, was National Player of the Year. He has like all the intangibles, throws a great ball.
Right.
But it's like these guys that just don't have the experience or were late bloomers or got to the game late, small college or big college guys that just maybe never got their chance. This could be the way that the AAF makes a successful run.
And I could be slightly biased, but this is my own personal take, is I think that football offers you as the only sport where you can take time off or not have ever played it and come and be very successful at it at whatever age you would like. Yeah. Now, that goes without saying that it is a younger man's game, but you can't take 5 years off of basketball and come back and compete in the NBA. You cannot take years off of baseball and not hit 97, 98 and think you're going to come in and hit 200 in Major League Baseball. I can be another sport. I could be a great power forward in basketball, and I could come in and I could train for 6 to 8 months and I could go play football at a high level. Mm-hmm. I could, because athletically, that's what football allows you to do. You don't have to be the best athlete out there. You can be physically stronger. So what does this mean? More young men can take different options. They can learn. It does give a secondary option from college, which I believe that college is, and I love college football. I believe college football is turning into a higher level scam as the basis behind it is great, but the finance behind it is starting to get the separation of player and coach is ridiculous. So it does, the AAF allows some of these guys other choices and other options.
Yeah.
Soon as we get to the two number, which I think it needs to be two out of college, I think 20-year-olds should be eligible for the NFL. And if AAF allows and we get to the point where it's 2 years out of high school, we can see that 20-year-olds. I think having an age number is more important than years of service.
Mm.
Because if a young man goes for, maybe he is Mormon. Maybe he's Mormon. He goes on a 2-year mission. He becomes 20. Do I need a 22? I wasn't 22 when I got in the league. What's to say that I need a 23-year-old or a 24-year-old their first time in? I'd like to see just 20 be the number. Yeah. That's my own proposition.
Instead of like years, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be a good way to go about it. You know?
It's just my own thought with it. I think 2 years, we're looking at guys like Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be 19. Do I really need to see him 2 more years? Potentially. But that's up for college football.
Give him 1 more year there and then a year with Mike Martz or one of these NFL coaches.
Why not?
You know, and that's a good thing about it is they have really good coaching. You know, I forgot Nick Aliotti is the defensive coordinator for Arizona. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, they've got really good coaching at every turn in the AAF. And the talent, I think as the level of play will increase as the league does, right? The more this league is around, the more polished it will become. They haven't played a lot.
No.
I like some of the rule changes. I like the pace of play. I like the big hits. I like fewer penalties. They have trick plays, good coaching. It's got a little bit of everything for you. What did you think of the replay? Did you see that clip? Because you didn't watch a full game.
No, I didn't see the replay stuff.
So this is awesome. And I think that the NFL could
because they have the on-site official.
Yes, they have.
What's his name?
Sky Judge.
Sky Judge, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah, the eye of God.
God's eye.
The Sky Judge, what they do is they just, instead of going to commercial, they put a camera right on the Sky Judge, the replay official, and you have a split screen. What the replay official is seeing, and then the replay official watching the play and talking to the head official. And there was one instance in the Orlando game where the replay official was like it was the very first touchdown, I believe, in league history, where they called it an incompletion on the field. And at the beginning, she sat there and she goes, okay, no, it's going to stand. It's an incompletion. Ball hits the ground when he hit the ground. And then all of a sudden she watches 3 more replay reviews of it. And she goes, you know what? No, we're going to reverse this. Look it. He catches the ball. And as he's falling to the ground, his elbow hits first. And the elbow is what made the ball come out. She's like, that's a catch. This is going to be it. people, hey, you didn't have to like the call, and some people called it a terrible reversal, but you know what? At least you got to see their line of thinking, and how can you refute that if you hear the replay official going, no, he has possession, goes down, elbow hits.
So a couple things happen with that luxury, having Mike Pereira being one that's been as the head of officiating for the NFL and then working on Fox. He's the best on Fox. I think he's the best in the league with explanations. We respect him. Even though as much as you'd say the old curmudgeon of Bill Polian, he's been around football long enough. And I think that even with this older guys running this stuff, they're not outthinking the room. They're trying to simplify, but differentiating from the NFL, because the NFL is under so much scrutiny now, they have to get things so right. Look, a whole city boycotted from New Orleans. You know, they're going to do things a little bit differently, and you're going to disagree quite often with what they're doing. But that's not going to matter, because we're going to enjoy watching football. Not a ton of it, but 8 weeks and maybe a couple games, that's fine. It's perfect for the amount of football that we need, because it ends when?
April.
Right before the draft.
That's right.
Conveniently, right before the draft. Notice how it's structured right before the draft.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay, there's thought process into this, because some of these guys might become free agents on rosters.
Okay, this text, Better You Today text line, it'll never be better than an NFL practice squad football, or you'd be on an NFL practice squad. All of these guys are.
Yeah,
like that. I mean,
I think that's way off base. That's not understanding.
Okay.
Way off base there.
If one of the, so Arizona, best team in the league, if they were to play Alabama or Clemson, what would happen?
Here's the thing is that it doesn't matter. That's not the thing.
I know.
There's 1,800 players in the NFL. There's 6 roster spots for practice squad. You do your math, 6 times 32. Okay, that's not a lot of guys. You can't hold all this talent on rosters. So some of them have to be let go, and some of them get interchanged. I'm telling you guys, every Tuesday and Mondays and Tuesdays, there are 10 guys in every facility times 22 trying out for spots. You don't think that the NFL knows how do we keep tabs on all this talent out there in case an injury goes down? You couldn't be further from the truth. Couldn't be.
Well, and you know what I want? I know it's not the NFL, and it never will be the NFL quality. I just want to be weaned off of football. Like, it's a drug.
Why?
Wean me off of it. Just let me watch like one game a week if I want to. And that's what the AAF will be perfect for.
Because you can't handle going cold turkey?
I cannot. No, like,
fair
think
enough.
About it. NFL, or the football builds up your tolerance that week before. You get like preseason games, the NFL, and then the week before the NFL regular season, you get college football kickoff weekend, and then that's where it hooks you. And then the NFL comes in, and you got like 6 months of bliss, and then you just stop. Just give me a little bit to wean off of. That's all I'm asking. The biggest comeback of the week, though, in the AAF, it's not Trent Richardson. I'm telling you, it's not Trent Richardson. It's a bigger comeback than anybody is acknowledging. We'll get to that, plus your case of the Mondays. What's grinding your gears? 55305, the Better You Today text line next on The Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A case of the Mondays, part of Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Alliance of American Football is here. And the biggest comeback of the weekend wasn't Trent Richardson or any of these NFL guys that are kickbacks like Matt Asiata. You know what the biggest comeback of the AAF was? Starter. Starter is back. The official outfitter of the Alliance of American Football. You had starter jerseys. They're wearing the old school velour starter jackets on the sidelines. Starter made a huge comeback over the weekend.
Cheap investment.
Oh,
I saw the first teams coming out of the tunnel, and I'm like, what is that little patch on right by their hip? Is that an S with a star?
And it damn was. Right it yeah. is.
Good job.
Starter is
back. Minimal investment, small market, but quickly, we're talking about it.
Oh, my gosh. And those jackets just look so good. They look so good on the sidelines. I missed Starter back in a big way over the weekend. All right, we do it every single Monday at 7:45. Case of the Mondays, where you get a chance to vent, let her rip. It's Monday morning. Get it all out before you hit the work week. P1 Zach in Portland. I woke up tired, stretched, tweaked something in my neck. Now it hurts to move my head. Ooh. And so I asked him, hey, how old are you, man? He said, I just turned 28. Not old enough to be for my neck to be hurting this much.
That's oldness.
Dude, that's catches like, you wake up as you get into your 30s every single year. It hurts a little bit more. And then you turn 40 like Cam. Your whole body starts falling apart.
What are you talking about?
Well,
never felt better in my life. See my golf swing over the weekend?
I saw a quick video on Facebook.
Yeah, it was time to start breaking out the golf swing and start working on it.
How'd it feel?
To do that. It felt very good to get back into a little bit of rhythm and swing.
Some of you said in your Facebook post.
Of course it's rusty. I do that. I think it's important to get in there. Get those swings through it. It's golf season. Just look outside.
Yeah. I mean, this is perfect golf gear.
Hey, it's not just bad here. They had to postpone down in Pebble Beach because there was a massive hailstorm.
Hail. Can you imagine?
Yeah, because Phil was frustrated. They blew the horn on him.
Well, he was playing well, wasn't he?
He's playing very well. Right. You see, at 48, he's got faster club head speed than he did 10 years ago. How do you figure that?
Steroids.
He's in better shape.
Correct. Yeah. Taking care of ourselves. Moves. We don't look like 40-somethings.
Also technology.
Technology. True that.
You know what it is? It's those new shirts that he's dancing around
work,
in.
Works. Was it work?
When he does,
work,
when he does the big kick.
Work joy. Work very flexible. Flexibility is the key to longevity.
Sure is, Bob. That's why we all should do yoga and ballet. Okay, another case of the Mondays, 55305. We didn't get the snow, and now it's just raining. Yeah, it's a big one around here.
Do you really want the snow? You just ask yourself that question. Conveniently, we here in the Northwest, we want snow, but we don't want it to linger more than, I'm going to say, 3 days. Mm. The convenience of snow, after 3 days, you're like, this is not good.
No. Case of the Mondays, had a plan to... plan in place to sell a car, purchase another car, and pay off some bills with the wife. Finally, get it worked out Monday morning, and all of a sudden, she doesn't want to do it. Oh, that's the worst. When you come up with the plan, you know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to sell a car, buy a cheaper one. We're going to use that money. We're going to pay off the bills, and then boom, back out last second.
Back out there.
Welcome to marriage, man.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Welcome to marriage. Do you have any case of the Mondays? Anything grinding your gears this Monday morning?
You always ask me first, and I always try to really try to stay away from the complaining.
No, if you have.
And blatant, obvious negativity that Monday brings to us. And I try to stay positive.
Okay.
Here's my only complaint. When we do the pre-shutdown of the city, before the actual shutdown happens, you cause a big disruption in everybody's weekend. So with all the sports and the activities that are on Saturdays in today's world, when you decide to shut down your entire world and then it turns out to be okay, shouldn't you do the preemptive shutdown, or is it worse? That's my question. Worse to preemptive or worse to wait and see a little bit and do it in the morning? Because when you shut down an entire weekend like it is for families that have made hotel trips and organizations and all these things, and you do it pre, and then when the snowpocalypse doesn't happen, don't you think you feel like an idiot? Shouldn't you just wait till the morning and you wake up, and then everybody can deal with it? I can deal with it more.
I understand.
You canceled all my basketball.
See, I understand, but at the same time, some areas did get a ton of snow.
No, that's why you can wake dangerous. Up in the morning and say, all right, that's fine. We'll cancel it. You don't have to do it at 4 o'clock the day before.
I don't hate on the preemptive shutdown. What I do get frustrated with it, because we're not weathermen. We're not meteorologists. We don't know what's going to happen. All we have to go off
Neither
of
do they.
Is what they are telling us. And what they told us was, look, and to be fair to them, they said, look, it could get really, really bad. But they also said it could not be very bad either. It was like two completely different directions. I just wish the weathermen had a little bit more dialed in
weather
prognostication.
Persons. We need some weather. We need the weather people that are in Mexico. Some of those ladies. Come on up.
Well, here. It's really easy to predict the weather in San Diego.
True.
And
sunny or not sunny,
you know,
see, this is it right
LA.
Here. Mondays.
It's hard here.
... Listen to the weatherman. I parked my car a mile up the hill.
Uh-oh.
So I couldn't get out. Right. It's important. Mm-hmm. And then had to walk a mile up the hill. in the rain to get to work. That's it?
That sucks.
That sucks. So the preemptive shutdown, you're okay with. I'm not okay with it.
Yeah, I'm all right with
it. I'm not okay with it.
Yeah, I just...
And then you're going to hate the fact that... Yeah, Jesse, when all the kids are stuck at school and the preemptive shutdown, that's fine. A little inconvenience in life, all right? Whatever. That's fine. Okay? Yeah. Nothing's perfect
here. You remember that ice storm? He's talking about the one that was a few years ago?
Yeah.
One of my good friends.
It's all
friends
about the kids. I understand that.
Was
I
a
have
teacher.
Kids.
They were there for 8 hours waiting to get their kids out and into school, and teachers couldn't go home. Kids,
but that's
were
because
stranded.
We're not prepared as an area to handle it. We're not prepared for anything here when it comes to extreme weather on either side.
Well, yeah,
that's never going to change. So you can shut it down or not. There's a no-win situation for both. Okay. There is. One side is like, what happens if everybody's stuck here? Well, then you got cars abandoned all over the freeway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the problem is that we're never prepared because it takes a lot of resources and manpower to always be prepared for that, like there in the Midwest, you know? And why would we do it for maybe 1 or 2 days out of the year? Maybe 1 or 2 days out of the year, you know? It totally makes sense as to why we don't have all of the resources and manpower to it, which is why I'm okay with the preemptive canceling. But
Can we ever get a weather person on the show to just explain to us how difficult their job is?
Well, and this person says, you know, it sucks to be a weatherman where 1 to 2 degrees degrees difference is the total difference between 8 inches of snow and 0 inches, right?
True.
Like it's like just a little bit in that. I don't know pressure systems and all that, but we just basically got like a little cyclone that took it right back out to the ocean.
Yeah, got a little push.
Can't really predict that.
You still on the train that all the weather people in this area were had stock in Costco and Fred Meyer.
Yeah,
as this person says, Costco was like a normal door opening is 200. It was 1,000 on Friday. You people got bamboozled.
We also had somebody that said they work at a local store, and people were calling to see if they could return their hundreds of dollars of groceries because the snow never came.
You spent your mortgage on food this weekend for 12 hours.
Yeah. My conspiracy here is how many people at the National Weather Service, not the local weathermen, at the National Weather Service hold stock in Safeway, Albertsons, Fred Kroger, and like Costco. Because, boy, did they make out like bandits. And Columbia, as you mentioned earlier. Columbia Sports were a good week for them.
Good week for snow gear.
It was the Fry Festival of Snowstorms.
Fire Festival. What does that mean?
Ja Rule. And what's it, Billy, what's his name?
Billy McFarland.
Billy McFarland ripped off a bunch of millennials with a music festival. So.
Good.
Well,
you deserve
it. There wasn't actually a music festival.
Well, that's true. They just ripped off.
Somebody came out like gangbusters here. We know they did. And they're feeling very, very happy about it.
You know what? I'm happy for the grocery store.
Are you?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they have such low margins, you know?
Like, I feel bad for them.
No, I'm...
Like, this Trader Joe's did get sold out. All Trader Joe's got sold out. It was a joke.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for them. I'm just happy for them. They made their money this weekend. Which makes me feel even better that my wife's like, should we go to the store on Friday? I was like, no, we can walk to one.
Yeah, I refused to buy into it. I didn't do anything. I was like, I got some food. And if you know what, the neighbors are stocked up, we'll just head over there.
Oh, Cam's going to go Hunger Games on them and just start breaking
into
their
house. Just walk over there with my checkbook
and
say, hey, by the way, let me tap into your...
Everybody's got a price.
Right.
Everybody's got a price. Okay. 55305, Better You Today text line. Coming up next hour, we have, how about this?
Yeah.
You listen for the cue to call, and you could win a pair of tickets to the Portland Golf Show.
I want tickets! I will be there, by the way.
February 22nd through the 24th at the Convention Center.
Love the golf show.
You can get info at portlandgolfshow.com. But if you listen a little bit later, you're going to get a pair of tickets to go to the Portland Golf Show and maybe...
You want to have a long drive competition with me?
Yeah.
Anybody want to try it?
You can go ahead and do that. But you got to be listening later. Stop calling right now. Stop. I know you're calling.
You just teased him.
I know.
It's your fault.
I'm saying there's a cue to call later. Next hour also, we will have Snowpocalypse Let Us Down, other things that did. But coming up next, the Blazers meltdown in epic fashion yesterday. Why is Mo Harkless still in the starting lineup? In Magic Johnson Speaks, Dusty and Cam on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.